Well, please have Proverbs chapter 4 open. There are some people who have to go through life constantly on the defensive. They have to watch their every step, and if they get something wrong, then there can be catastrophic consequences. One obvious example of this is people who have got some sort of food allergy, especially one of the more dangerous ones like peanuts allergy. For these people, even a sniff of a peanut can put them into life-threatening anaphylactic shock. So they have to go through life on the defensive, being very careful about what they eat, and with good reason. They want to avoid that extreme allergic reaction which they have every time they encounter nuts. And that means the lifestyle that the people with this particular allergy have to adopt has to be very defensive. They have to be very cautious. They have to be on their guard. And that sort of defensive lifestyle is an attitude that we can all learn from. Because we all have things in our lives which are best avoided. Often we don't realize how serious these things are. Because when we encounter them, it's not like peanut allergy where people will have an immediate action and they need a shot of adrenaline to keep going. But rather, there are things in our lives which have an ongoing, corrupting and corrosive effect upon us, which causes long-term harm to our spiritual and maybe even our physical health as well. Now, I am, of course, talking about that unrighteous, wicked lifestyle which the book of Proverbs is going to great length to warn us about. And people who have put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, they've been forgiven. They are a new creation. They have been saved and their future is guaranteed in heaven. But we still live in this sin-polluted world and we have to wrestle against those old desires which are still there within us and they want to pull us off course. In addition to this, we do have an enemy who is quite happy to give us a nudge in the wrong direction whenever we are feeling a bit wobbly. So we have to take care and we have to pay attention and we have to live on the defensive, doing all that we can to avoid the old sinful habits and desires which are temptations for us, falling into sin, falling into unwise situations. We have to live on the defensive, constantly trying to move away from sin and living a life which is good and pleasing to our Lord and Saviour. And in order to do this, we need wisdom, discerning and understanding, things which only God can give us. Fortunately, they are freely available to believers. If you need wisdom, then ask for it. God will give you wisdom. If your faith is feeling a bit wobbly, ask for faith as well. You've put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and there are immense resources available at our disposal. We need to be people who are putting into practice the blessings that we have received. But the thing is, living this sort of lifestyle doesn't come just automatically. It does take a bit of effort, and that is where things can be quite hard for us as Christians. When we put our trust in Jesus, all the work is done for us by him. But after that, we're called into this Christian lifestyle, and it does take effort to grow and mature as a Christian. It doesn't just come with a click of the fingers, but rather it requires us to keep on going. We need to want to learn the Lord's word. We need to want to grow. We need to want to develop. And those feelings should be there within us, because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But it's so often a battle. We feel that we're being torn in two between what we want to be and the failure that we so often encounter. So we need to be people who are willing to learn and to keep on learning. Now, one of the great ways that you can learn something is to keep on going over something over and over and over again. So when our children, whenever they have a spelling test, we get them to write the words out many times so that eventually, instead of spelling out the letters, the brain just automatically writes the word. It works with longer words as well. words like justification and propitiation, if you write them out a lot of times, you end up just writing the word rather than thinking what letter comes next. Repetition can be very good for learning important facts. Now, God knows this. He made us and he knows how we work. So it's no surprise that when it comes to learning about wisdom, there's a certain amount of repetition built into what we're doing. And that's why a lot of Proverbs 4 sounds very familiar, especially if you've been in these sermons in the past where we looked at the first three chapters. Because a lot of Proverbs 4 seems to be going over what we've already done. This is repetition to drive the point home. So once again, we have the father calling the son to pay attention and gain understanding. And then to help, he holds up an illustration, holding himself up as an example, and basically says, what I learned from my dad has worked for me, so it's going to work for you as well. As a young man, the father was taught to love and value wisdom, to cling tightly to it and never let go, to be willing to give up everything in order to find wisdom, and in return, wisdom will bring you honor. Then the lifestyle of the righteous and the wicked are contrasted once again, with the wicked being put forward as being addicted to evil. And that observation is so true, isn't it? Now, we all know people who would be in this category of being unrighteous, maybe even wicked. And when it comes to sinning, they just can't help themselves. You know, we all know folk who are incapable of having a good time unless an excessive quantity of alcohol is involved, that there's lots of blasphemy, and other unmentionable things are all part of the evening. People who live like this are folk who are wandering around with blindfolds on, not knowing what they fall over and not realizing what their end is going to be. What we find in these first 19 verses of Proverbs 4 is very similar to what we've heard before. And it helps us to remember, it helps us to learn. But from verses 20 onwards, we encounter some very interesting thoughts which will help us to live life on the defensive. And what we're given here is four things to help us be on guard. And the first one of these is that we have to store wisdom in our hearts. For the people first reading this, it meant that they had to do far more than just listen to the wisdom. They had to move it from their minds into their hearts. For us today, it means that we really need to be able to hold on tightly to God's word and do what it says. Which sounds easy, but we all know from experience that it can be quite hard. How often have you read the Bible in the morning, closed the Bible up, and 5 minutes later cannot remember what you read? Oh, there's nods and smiles and people looking at the floor. That's happened to me many times. You sort of just automatically go through your Bible reading. Right, let's try the next one. How often have you left church in the morning and by lunchtime you have no idea what the preacher was going on about? Come on, encourage me. Does that ever happen to you? Never, people say, never. I'm sure it does. I'm sure it happens a lot. We very quickly forget things, don't we? How often have you found yourself struggling to recall that verse you once knew so well? It's there, it's on the tip of your tongue. But you just can't get it there. You can't get it quite right. It's frustrating, isn't it? Because we know what we want to be. We know what we've got to do. But we just struggle to put it into practice. And I think maybe part of our problem is that we get confused between religious duties and development as a Christian. We know that going to church weekly, we know that listening to sermons, we know that having a daily quiet time are all good things to do. So we do them. We unthinkingly engage in these religious duties. We're just as if we're going through the motions. And once the job is done, we're on to the next thing, whatever that may be in the day. And I think that's part of our problem. Because it is good to have a daily quiet time. It's good to come along to church. It's good to listen to sermons. But we need to be seeing that these duties aren't just duties to do in and of themselves. But these duties should be leading to development. And that means really paying attention. When we look at the pages of Scripture, we see that the purpose of being a Christian is to have a relationship with God and to be conformed to the image of Christ. So from that moment of conversion, we should be becoming more and more Christ-like. We should be knowing God better. We should be knowing God's will more, so that in our lives, we become more and more like Jesus. This is what we're supposed to be doing right now. So as individual Christians, we should be growing in our understanding of God's word, not just knowledge, but understanding of it, and seeking to put these things into practice in our lives so that we're filled with the fruit of the Spirit, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those wonderful things. We should be seeking to do the things that the Lord has asked us to do, serving him in the way that he's called us. And as we do this, we become more and more Christ-like. And it can be a battle. It can be 3 steps forward and 5 steps back sometimes. Hopefully it's only ever 2 steps back. We should be seeing that ongoing growth in Christ-likeness throughout our lives. And when we remember this, it's so much easier to develop as a Christian, because we're not mindlessly just going through duties, but those duties have got a purpose. And that purpose is to become the people that Jesus wants us to be. And when we think about that, it does help us to hang on to things. Another thing that we can do is be a little bit more intentional about what we're doing and really valuing the time that we spend with the Lord and seeing the big picture and seeking to fill our minds and hopefully our hearts with God's word. Proverbs 4:23 tells us that above all else, we must guard our hearts, because according to Scripture, our hearts are the center of our being, from which everything else flows. And we see this in the New Testament, don't we? Those well-known words from Matthew 12, where Jesus says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him, in his heart. Our heart is the center of our being. It's who we really are. You know, beyond the masks that we may wear when we're talking towards one another, or the impression that we want to give people, or the reputation that we build. Our heart is who we really are. And God is the only one who really knows our hearts. And he's saying, guard your heart, because it is the most important thing. The heart determines our behavior, and the heart determines the words that we speak. So how can we guard our hearts? Well, there's another well-known verse from Psalm 119, verse 11, which says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The only way to protect our hearts is to make sure that they are full of God's word. And then when we find ourselves facing temptation and trouble, a witnessing opportunity or a decision, the appropriate scripture verses are already there to guide and guard us. And in order to achieve this, we do need to try and memorize scripture. And memorizing scripture is one of these things like a Bible meditation, which seems to be a forgotten art among Christians. I'm sure many of you are old enough to remember the old sword drills and Bible memory things that you did when you were in Sunday school. But they're not so popular nowadays. There's been a move away from learning things really well and repetition, and rather people go for other ways of trying to teach Christian truth. And that's not good. We need to have these resources stored within us. And we need to do it because we live in a world where there's lots of information available but very little understanding. So nowadays, if you're struggling to remember that verse and it's on the tip of your tongue, just type the general gist of it into Google or whatever your browser is, and it will tell you what the verse is. You don't have to remember it anymore. But the thing is, at the moment of temptation, you often aren't sitting there online with the computer to just look up the verse, are you? We need to have it stored internally within us. All this digital technology, it's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, it has made us a little bit lazy when it comes to remembering all kinds of things, not just Bible verses. How many of you know all your critical phone numbers? How many of you knew all your critical phone numbers 20 years ago? Digital technology is making us lazy. We have information overload, but we don't necessarily have much in the way of understanding that information or the ability to retain it. If we can't remember phone numbers, how are we going to remember God's word? So we need to be trying to memorize scripture. And the key thing with this is to start off small with some well-known verses and then keep on going. So pick a helpful verse. You can look it up on Google. Find something that's really helpful, that speaks into the situation that you are facing at the moment, and then write it out a few times. Repetition is good. Seek to learn it perfectly, including chapter and verse. And then once it's somewhere in the memory banks, the key thing to do is to keep on reviewing it. When we start seeking to try and memorize scripture, we sort of go, okay, I'm going to learn 100 Bible verses over the course of the next 3 months or something. And we just sort of learn one for a while and then learn the next one and the next one and the next one. But by the time we got to number 10, we've forgotten number one. And by the end of it, we probably only know 5 verses. The thing to do is to keep on going. So set smaller goals, but learn them well. So every few days, go back over the ones that you know. And when you keep doing that, you will be storing them within your heart and they will be there, ready. When you really need them. And once you've got Bible verses memorized, then it becomes much easier to meditate on them as well. As you think through the scripture and think through what it means, how it applies, different angles, cross-references, all that sort of thing. And as we slowly do this, and it is hard work, but as we slowly do this, then we should be guarding our hearts. And a heart that is guarded is a heart that is wholesome. And that results in the second area we need to guard being a lot easier, the things that we say, our mouths. We see there, don't we? Verse 24, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Words are incredibly powerful things. It's so easy in a moment to build someone up or crush them completely just with a few quick words. And so often, the words that do the most damage have escaped before we've even thought about them. There's just something that just fires them out there. And they don't seem to go through your mind. They just pour out. How often have we said something, then we want to just take it back and start again? We need to think carefully about what we are saying. Many years ago, when I was studying in the Christian Union, there was a really popular thing where in conversations, people would always ask, is this edifying? Is this a good conversation? Is this building someone up? And the moment anyone started saying anything negative or a little bit critical, it would be, is this edifying? Is this building up? And we need to think carefully about the things we say. Are we seeking to build the people up around us? Or are we just moaning and criticizing and fault-finding and pointing the finger all the time and never doing anything else? We need to be people who seek to build people up around us rather than drag them down, which is, of course, a lot harder. It's easy to pull people down and it's easy to moan and criticize about all sorts of things, especially when you don't understand the full situation. It's much harder to build people up. But there is help at hand in Scripture. A good Bible verse to learn is Colossians 3, verse 16. We all know John 3:16. Remember Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So there's a way that we can use our words to build each other up and to edify one another and to avoid falling into perversity, corrupt talk, and seeking to destroy other people with the things that we say. The next thing that we pick up in Proverbs 4, in verse 25, is our eyes. We need to have our eyes looking in the right direction. And this is important, because so often in the scriptures, we see that the eyes lead on to sin. For example, after listening to the serpent, Eve went, and what did she do? She looked at the fruit on the tree, and she saw that it was good and desirable for food and gaining knowledge. So she was tempted, so she went and had a peek. There was that famous incident between David and Bathsheba. David should have been off with the army, but instead he's walking on his palace. He sees the girl naked, having a bath on the roof of her house where she thought it was private. He looked, and then he followed up. The eye leads into sin. It's looking at something, and that can be the small step which knocks over the first domino, causing a complete collapse. When you try not to eat too much before Christmas, how often have you been to the tin of chocolates and thought, I'll just see what's inside? And you see them and they look so good and they smell nice. And before you know it, you've scoffed a dozen. You see, the eye leads into sin. And with other areas that we struggle with, sometimes we want to get just close enough to catch a glimpse, maybe of what we used to be like before we were believers, or maybe it was something that we used to really love, and we know that we don't, shouldn't, but we just want to have a look at it once again. Just a glimpse. And just a glimpse quickly leads on to one more time and it won't hurt. One more time won't hurt. And then we're sunk. What we need to be doing is keeping our eyes on the end of the road, fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our salvation. And one of the images that we get of the Christian life is like an athlete running a 100-meter sprint. Now, when you watch those finals at the Olympics and things like that, you don't see them running along looking at the crowd, do you? What's going to happen? They're going to wobble, be disqualified by going out their lane, and probably trip someone up and get hurt. Instead, they're all gazing intently at the end of the line, trying to run in a straight line and get there as fast as they possibly can. And this is how we should be in our Christian lives, gazing at the Lord Jesus Christ, longing for the time when we see him face to face, thinking about the end of the journey, keeping our eyes focused on him. Because the believer is someone who remembers and recognizes that this world is not our home. It's merely somewhere that we are traveling through in order to be with Christ. So we need to have our eyes fixed firmly upon him. And this leads us on to the last area where we need to be on our guard. It's there in verse 26. And that's our feet, the paths that we walk down. And this is where wisdom really helps, where wisdom gives us understanding and discernment. It helps us to think ahead and work out what are the consequences of different actions. Because we all come to crossroads in life, and we want to do the Lord's will. So we need to, first of all, not go running ahead. We need to stop, we need to pray, we need to ponder. And then we need to think, what's going to happen if I take this option? And what's going to happen if I take this option? Thinking ahead, trying to work out what's going to happen in advance, praying about the situation. And when we do this, we can protect ourselves from all sorts of rash actions and wandering into situations that we really should avoid. But it does take effort and practice. It's so easy to be tempted back to the old way of life. It's very easy to just go along with the crowd, especially as our society is becoming more and more anti-Christian. It's especially difficult for those people who are the only Christian in their family, or people who are in the workplace surrounded by non-Christians each and every day, or in school or college. It can be very difficult to not get led astray. We need to be people who are keeping our steps in the path of righteousness, even though it can be difficult. And this is where all these things work together. Because when our hearts are filled with God's word, it means that when we find ourselves facing a tricky situation, we already have the appropriate verse memorized to act as a guide. And we know that we don't look at things that are evil. We keep our eyes directed at the Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly do try and do all we can to avoid saying the wrong thing. We want to be people who stay on the right track. And we all want to do this. And I think it's one of the reasons that the Lord has put us into a church. Because as believers, we're never alone. We always have God's help. We always have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But we also have one another. And every time we gather together as believers, we're refreshing ourselves. We're encouraging one another to keep going, to keep looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're strengthening our resolve to avoid some of these temptations. This is why it's so important we come along to as many church meetings as we can. Because every meeting that we come along to is an encouragement to keep on going with the Lord. So we should be seeking to attend as many meetings as we possibly can. Not just out of a religious duty, but because we want to be people who develop into Christ-likeness. And meeting together with God's people is one of the primary ways that we do this. So it's not just about being entertained or having something to do or meeting up with other people. We gather together to study God's word, to praise his name, to pray together because we want to become more like him. So we should be seeking to attend as many meetings as our schedule allows. And as a church, we are very good. We offer all sorts of meetings at different times. Never expecting people to come along to every meeting, but there are always meetings running which people are able to get along to. So I'd encourage you to try and get along to more meetings if you possibly can. It'll only do you spiritual good. It won't do you any harm at all. And we're also able to meet together and encourage one another, because it's only in these Bible-believing churches where people are all got the same goal. As soon as you're out in the world, people are going in all sorts of different directions. And all of those directions, anything that's not orientated towards Christ, is wrong. So we need to be coming together to encourage one another to keep on going. So this is what life on the defensive looks like. Being very careful about what we take into our hearts, making sure that we're filled with good stuff and not rubbish, watching what we say, what we look at, watching where we walk. And while it may sound a bit like hard work, the benefits it brings are well worth it. The ways of wickedness and sin may give temporary pleasure, but ultimately they lead to misery and judgment. We will be saving ourselves all sorts of difficulties when we can put wisdom into action in our lives and when we're living a life that is obedient to the Lord. Because if we do decide to go down the wrong path, the Lord will use his discipline to bring us back. And no one likes to be disciplined. So we will be saving ourselves all that pain if we can live on the defensive and walk in the ways of wisdom. And not only will we be helping ourselves, we also have the excitement of being involved in the biggest and best construction project in history, being used by God to build the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, spending time growing in Christ's likeness, worshipping him, being a witness for him. These are the important things in this life. And the more we serve him, the better. So the more that we live our life on the defensive, the more suitable we are to be used for his glory. And even though it sounds like hard work, always remember the end of the journey. We need to recognize the stark truth of reality. People can rebel and go against God and go their own way. And some will enjoy themselves in this life and seem to have a good time. But their end is everlasting punishment. While for the believer, we do need to live a guarded life today. We may be misunderstood. We may be considered a killjoy. We may be thought a bit boring. But when we get to the end of the road, we have an eternity of rest, peace, and relationship with God. I know which one is best. So it is right for us to be living a life on the defensive. Amen.